You are listening to the Punk News Podcast. I have no idea what episode this is, but I will get caught up soon. I'm working on it. I was working on it last week. But you know me, Punk News Podcast listeners. I just can't say no to anyone. And here I am yet again, plowing forward into 14,000 different projects at once. But one of them, well, actually, they're all going to be pretty cool. But one's going to be especially cool because why? Sammy B will be there.
Really?
April 29th in Philadelphia at Philomoka. Sammy B will be selling records with me in Philadelphia at the first quarterly, hopefully, Punk News Record Swap. It's called the Record Freakout, and it's free. It's April 29. Oh, no, it's not free. It's free for me and Sam, but it's not for you, the listener. For you, the listener, it's $10 at 10 o'clock and $5 at 11 o'clock or afterwards. And we're going to have, like, maybe 12 or 14 sellers there, a lot of old records, some new records, some vintage clothes and vintage flyers and a whole bunch of really cool stuff. And I am thrilled that Sammy B is going to be there selling records with me and a bunch of other people. Sammy B, are you excited for the big record swap on April 29, the Record Freakout in Philadelphia at Philomoka?
I am so excited to get rid of some of the stuff I have in my house and for it to find new good homes somewhere else. I'm also really, really... So anyone that sees me on that day, please forgive me because I'm probably going to be up at 4 in the morning driving over to you guys in Philly and pretty much probably staring at John G or the wall for a little bit. So just come say hi. You'll find me. I'm probably going to be near John somewhere or screaming at him from across the room.
Yeah, Sam, do you want to be situated near me or away from me at the thing?
I don't care. But if you want to put me right next to you so we could blab all day, that's also cool.
Yeah, let's do that. That'll be cool. We should do that. That's going to be fun, man. We're going to have DJs and some other cool stuff and prizes and goodies. And listen, if it's a good turnout, we're going to do it every quarter, so it should be pretty cool. I'm very curious to see what kind of stuff Sam's going to have for sale.
I wonder what is in my house that I need to get rid of.
Well, that's going to be fun and exciting. So come on out. And we are also here with M Moore. What's going on in Canada?
Ooh, what's not happening up here? It got really warm and then it snowed. It like fucking blizzarded. It was ridiculous. Everything was fine. And then everything was like covered in ice.
Wait, so it's stuck.
It's melting now. Ugh. Yeah, it's just melting now. So yeah, it's been one of those. Winter to spring is the worst transition period ever because it's like you have allergies coming on and then like everything's thawing and every gust of wind is like, please don't knock our power out. Please don't knock our power out. Cause then we have to bail out the basement because the sub pump's not working and it's a whole thing. So it is, I like spring and I like winter, but I don't like when they mix.
Wait, did the ghost from your house go outside? Is that what happened?
I wouldn't be surprised. It's like universal. It was funny. Cause I talked about it like last week on the podcast and then like, everything was fine. And that night, it was just like, why did you talk about me? It felt like because it just like it came back and it's like, no.
Yeah, well, something's going to happen because we just brought the ghost back up.
But in a good light. We are all friends here. We all want peace.
On a side note, I'm quitting the Punk News Podcast because if you listen to last week's episode, Sam and Em have such great chemistry and they play off each other so well. I'm not needed, so I'm just quitting the Punk News Podcast, and that's that. So.
No, we're not going to let you do that, one. And two, who was going to, like, ground us because we were all over the damn place?
Well, I got to say, it was a very enjoyable episode last week. A couple other things before we get the show started properly tonight. May 26th, Summer Soiree 6, headlined by The Doors, doing a very special legacy set. Also, Gambert of Chumbawamba. Also, Zorn. Also, Vixen 77. But also, one other person just got added. Actually, they were on the show since the start. But we announced their participation today. The Mikey Erg Band. That's right. Not Mikey Erg solo. Yeah! The Mikey Erg Band, the full-powered, high-powered electric band, will also be playing Summer Soiree 6, and it's going to rock. That's also at Philomoka May 26. And listen, man, Philomoka is just going to be the home base for a while, and it's going to be rad and cool, and that's what's going to happen. So be there. Okay. Let's talk about my fantastic record swap poster. Sam, did you see my fantastic record swap poster?
Yeah, I've pretty much been putting it on my social media, and it might be nauseating to my my friends.
Well, good. So I was actually quite proud of my hands drawn thing, because listeners should go look at it. It's got a giant record, anthropomorphized record, and actually it's a takeoff of a character called Randy Record, which has been around about 70 or 80 years. And he's like a friendly record, but I said this record swap is going to be a record swap with it too. So I made Randy Record have like sharp teeth, and he's like destroying the place. And then below him, I had a whole bunch of people like flipping through record bins. I had Kermit the Frog, I had Count Chocula, Frankenstein, Charo, some other people, and also I had a guy like reading a Playboy. And I thought that if this record convention becomes quarterly, then each time Randy Record, who's going to be like the mascot for this thing, who like become more and more outrageous and mean. And so I thought like on the second one, like maybe I'll have him be like King Kong, like destroying a building, and he'll be like pulling out little records and eating them. And then I thought the third one, I'll have him do like a double decker in a toilet.
Oh my god.
But then I thought, well, I mean, honestly, I do think my post is pretty good in that, or my flyer is pretty good in that, like, it shows people having fun, so it conveys the idea it's going to be a wild, crazy, fun time looking at records. So I don't know in the future, like, I really do want to draw Randy Records doing a double-decker in someone's toilet, but, like, I don't know if that helps out the cause, you know what I mean?
I don't think a double-decker is a good idea. I do think the Randy being more outrageously evil as we go on might be a good idea, might be interesting. I do love this idea of King Kong. Maybe you might want to throw in a Godzilla in there as well. But I do also love the fact that you put all these miscellaneous characters, including Mario, in it. And I think there's a Simpson in it. I can't really tell.
There's actually two.
Yeah, it looks like.
So I wanted to do a better version of the cover, but I literally drew this thing in like 10 minutes because I had no time. And I wanted to do like a nicer version, but I just didn't have the time. And in a way, the crappiness kind of elevates it, I think, you know. There's one character in like the center left who is supposed to be Stevie Wonder, but kind of looks like Bleeding Gum Murphy, but also kind of looks like comic book guy from The Simpsons. So, you know, it can be whoever you want. And then next to him was supposed to be Cher, but I forgot the color in her hair and it doesn't look like Cher at all. So, you know, whatever, man. So anyways, that's what's happening.
It kind of reminds me of, like, was it NoFX has an album. I think it's called Longest Line.
Longest Line.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Maybe our flyers going forward will be, like, parodies of, like, famous album covers with Randy Record being more and more outrageous, you know?
It's an idea.
But listen, here's an idea. Jesse Michaels and Tim Armstrong of Operation Ivy are in a band again, but it's not Operation Ivy. It's a band called Bad Optics and includes Joey Castillo, who was in Danzig, who is in the Circle Jerks, and who is in the Bronx, as well as Spencer Pollard of Trash Talk. They've been a band since March 2021, but just 2 days ago, they announced their existence as a public band. They released one track. The track is called Raid, and it's very much a Tim Armstrong-style track that calls back to Studio One Jamaican-style ska / rocksteady. I mean, it sounds almost like a Studio One track musically. Jesse sings and Tim sings, and it's part of what's called the Hellcats Record Singles Club, which is going to release singles by different groups as selected by Tim and other people on the Hellcat team. Jesse has said there are a lot of other songs, and I believe I don't know if he said that they're going to do an EP or an LP or whatever, but there's going to be more music to come from Bad Optics. A lot of people were surprised with this and caught off guard. There's been one particular, if the readers have been paying attention, I've been very careful when referring to Operation Ivy, and I've said Jesse Michaels is hinted at other material. And one troll has been like, it's Operation Ivy. It's different members, but it's Classics of Love. It's different members, but he's calling it Classics of Love. You're wrong. You should know this. And I was right, listeners and readers, and the troll was totally wrong. So anyways, that really pleased me a lot. I don't even see him commenting in the comment section here, which is fantastic. So anyways, a lot of people were really surprised and caught off guard by this. And more, what did you think?
Yeah, I was surprised that they were back in a band together in one way. But then there was that video that we talked about on a previous podcast where Tim Armstrong and Jesse Michaels did an Operation Ivy song at like a fundraiser or something.
Yeah, at Music Cares, which is an organization that raises money for lower income students that want music education. There was also, if the listeners remember, there was a commercial for Brick, the NFT-based venue that I believe failed horribly, and I'm glad that it did, frankly. Well, actually, maybe that's too mean. I don't know. But that was actually connected to Trash Talk as well, and then I think about it. Jesse Michaels and Tim Armstrong were, like, jamming in that commercial.
It's just cool that, like, all the hints were there, and, like, everyone just assumed, oh, it's going to be Operation Ivy. They're going to do this because, like, reunions are huge and all this. So I'm glad they did something different and we're like, oh, yeah, well, we're just going to make a new band and we're going to have different people play with us and it's going to be really fun and really cool. So, yeah, like the song.
Sucks for Dave Mello, though.
Yeah. Well, unless something's coming in the future, maybe not Operation Ivy-wise, but, like, maybe he's involved in, like, some other project somehow. Who knows? There could be something. But yeah, the song is interesting. I really like Jesse Michaels' parts. He has a great voice, fits really, really well. It was different than what I was expecting. I was expecting something a little bit more like, I guess, fast, but I liked the slower like tempo of it because you really get to focus on a lot of it. I'm not a huge Tim Armstrong fan and I didn't really care for his part specifically, but I did like the Jesse Michaels parts in this and it gives me hope from, you know, other stuff. And also the art for the single is really, really cool. Sam, what do you think of Bad Optics?
So I never really got into like Operation Ivy or like I do kind of sort of listen to Rancid, like, you know, kind of like the hits and stuff, but I never really got into that. So like when I listened to this, I was like, eh, like it's not my jam, but I do understand why everyone is flipping out over this because this appeared on my social media by various friends, like, a couple of times. And I'm like, yeah, no, I get it, because there's, you know, I think some people, like, they just never thought that this, like, you know, I guess a couple members of Op Ivy would, like, get together and do something. I would have to say that it's probably a good idea to rebrand and call themselves Bad Optics. Because it's, you know, that just sets the tone that this is not Op Ivy, you know, because I don't think, what?
Sam, that's a great point in that, like, a lot of people were, sorry to interrupt you, but you raised a really good point, is a lot of people were taken back that it wasn't Operation Ivy sounding or it wasn't Classic of Love hardcore. Maybe they are making the point that this isn't Operation Ivy and it's something that's definitely different, you know, good point.
Yeah, well, I would think that, like, you know, as we all age, right, some people, they want to evolve, and this might be an evolution of things. Plus, like, you know, if you just, like, look at any of these guys as, like, you know, I guess Wikipedia site, you know, they have multiple projects. It's not like they have one set project that they, on all of the bands sound alike, you know? So this might be a good evolution. I don't know, for people, maybe not me. We'll see. This one didn't catch me. I think there was too much, like, horns and stuff, or ska, or something, that I was like, eh.
That's funny, because, like, with the name, I was on Twitter, and I was seeing a bunch of, like, tweets from different ska bands and stuff, and there's, like, the Bad Operation band, and a bunch of people were making jokes that, like, Bad Optics is named after the URL to get Bad Operation tickets, because it's Bad Optics. Like, so that was kind of funny. Yeah.
That is actually hilarious.
I don't think that's the origin of the name, but, like, it'd be funny if it was.
Well, you know what? I think we're going to have to need to find one of them to actually ask them that question and interview them.
I think so.
I thought the song was cool. The first time I heard it, I thought it was cool. And the more I listened to it, the more I liked it. I'm a huge Jesse Michaels fan, and I am a Tim Armstrong fan, even though I bash on him here or there. I mean, the dude knows how to write a great song. I mean, Out Come the Wolves, amazing album. Life Won't Wait, amazing album. Rancid 5, extremely, extremely great album. And, of course, Operation Ivy stuff is basically unparalleled. I think Jesse's an amazing lyricist and a great singer. And I always love, like, more and more Jesse does kind of, like, this abstract surrealist-type lyrics where I'm not exactly sure what he's talking about. And he does that here, and I thought it was real cool, and I think it's neat. My only concern is Tim does a million projects. Remember there was the one where he was, like, the Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids? You remember that, Sam?
Yeah, when they were, like, Fat...
And then he had for a hot minute he had a hardcore band with the guys from Nausea and Skinhead Rob, and that nothing really became of that. And actually Tim and Jesse did a song together called it was like Stranger in a Strange Land or something like that, and it was a great song, but then that was it. And the track actually ended up on that Ska Against Racism comp. And so Tim is a very prolific guy, and he's always doing all these different things, which is cool and kind of is the definition of art. But on the other hand, it can result in people just like tossing something out without really working on it that hard. I know Jesse doesn't just toss stuff out. I know he's real serious about his art and really suffers for it, for our benefit. So I hope the other members really go all out on this and really make something cool. Jesse has said that there are going to be live shows, but not real soon. I would definitely fly out to see one of these live shows. And I think it's going to be cool and rad. Similar to that is I guess maybe sadly, this new project symbolizes the end of Classics of Love. Classics of Love Mark One ended in 2012 with the release of this astoundingly great album. I think maybe the best thing he ever did. Actually the only LP by Classics of Love. But then about 3 years ago, Classics of Love, which was Jesse Michaels and two new guys, released an amazing EP called World of Burning Hate. The vinyl was delayed for 2 years and finally came out 2 days ago. And amusingly, the Classics of Love LP did go out of print after like 8 or 9 years. And I know Mike Park was, well, I don't know. I believe Mike Park was frustrated that people weren't picking up on how great and amazing Classics of Love was. And it was just kind of sitting there and slowly moving. So they only pressed 1,000 copies of the new Classic Love EP, which Jesse has sort of intimated that Classic Love Mark II isn't even like Classics of Love. He's just reusing a name, but it's a different band entirely. So anyways, they only made 1,000 copies. And what do you know? They sold out in one day, which is awesome. But that means a lot of people couldn't get it. I'm psyched that people are into Jesse Michaels again. Mike and Jesse Michaels have said they're going to re-release Classic Love Love, possibly Classic Love World of Burning Hate, possibly with even more unreleased material. So that'll be real cool. So, you know, everything's coming up. Jesse, I guess I will say I am sort of sad that Classics of Love, the band, Mark One or Mark Two, is apparently ended, because Classics of Love is probably my favorite thing Jesse's ever done. And he's done, you know, he's done Operation Ivy. He's done Kamen Rider. He's done Big Rig, Classics of Love, and a bunch of bands before that, SAG and a few other ones that recorded like one track here or there. At any rate, so I think it's super cool that they sold out that stuff real quick, and I think that's rad. I don't know, Sam or Andy, do you have any comment on how bizarrely quickly that sold while the LP like sat around forever?
Well, so I think because this thing, so the EP actually came out like what, in 2020 or something, like
right.
You know, 2 years ago. So I think the fact that, and I think it was digitally put out first. I think the fact that there was 2 years worth of time that went by that people actually paid attention and listened to it, That actually helped this album sell, because I did notice that it went like within a day, and I looked at the vinyl packages and I was like, okay, well, it's, you know, it's kind of cool. It's like there's an etched, like, you know, B-side and all that stuff. I don't know why it was delayed. I'm going to assume it has everything to do with vinyl pressing being a hot damn mess.
I know for a fact that's the answer. That is why.
Yeah. So I'm just going to assume, but thanks, John. But yeah, no, I think the fact that, like, you know, there was 2 years that, and, you know, some of the years was we were locked up in a house going insane. So we were probably listening to all sorts of music that we may or may not, like, you know, pick up normally. That might have helped this record actually sell. On top of that, it is also, like, you know, like, Mike Park, I think he's also been, like, you know, pushing for this, because I do remember seeing him, like, you know, tweeting out and or Instagramming out, like, a couple times that, like, you know, this thing is great and stuff like that. So I think that also helped with this. Do you have any input in why this went like this?
Yeah, I think you brought up a really good point with, like, the pandemic, because, yeah, 2020, we're into the first year of lockdown, and just, like, thinking back and whatever, and I was listening to so much stuff. I was, like, on Bandcamp all the time, trying to find new stuff, trying to find different stuff. So I think that really, you hit the nail on the head that way. And
well, I also think there's also Bandcamp Friday that helps that, yeah, you buy a lot of things for real cheap, you know?
yeah, you really got to grow your collection and then help people out too, which is, you know, the best part. But yeah, I remember listening to this EP for the first time and then, like, not... going for, like, stretches where it's, like, it's listened to at least twice per day kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I can see, like, why this got, like, snapped up so fast. Because, yeah, like, I think maybe we talked about it on the podcast, maybe we didn't, maybe I'm making things up. But, John, I remember you mentioning, like, the physical release of this a couple or at least once, and really wanting that and, like, waiting for it and stuff. And, like, Asian Man Records, they've been, like, absolutely hammered. Like, the Abruptors album got delayed, like, almost 2 years because of vinyl pressing delays. Like, the Teens in Trouble thing, like, they didn't get physical copies until I don't even know, like, how long. It was crazy. So yeah, the vinyl, hopefully that's getting better. Hopefully this coming out is a sign of the vinyl situation working itself out.
You mean the bubble bursting?
Yeah.
Yeah, I also think that the fact that they pretty much, like, posted everywhere that this is going mm-hmm. to be, like, a one-time pressing, I believe, of, like, 1,000 copies. Like, there might actually be people, like, snatching it up just because they're like, oh, they're not making any more of it, you know? Almost like a record store day deal. We're only making it on this color, and it's only going to be 3,000 of them. You got to get it at an over-inflated price. you know, like, situation, maybe that's also a reason why it went so quick.
Well, there you have it. The take on the new the War of Jesse Michaels. I'm psyched. It seemed like everybody's psyched, and I think it's going to be cool. Here's something that people were psyched about, but now are no longer psyched about, and no one could see this happening. Pete Murphy, who got out of rehab about a month ago, was scheduled to go on a several-month-long Bowie tribute tour with Adrian Berlew. I was super excited, and I think a lot of people were. Well, it's been postponed. Sadly, Peter Murphy has had some kind of medical issue or an unexpected medical procedure that prohibits his ability to travel as planned. So they've kicked it way back to October and November 2023. I know a lot of people are bummed out. Our picture of Peter Murphy is actually, like, 30 years out of date here. It's one of the weirder pictures of him. Although, honestly, if you see him lately, he looks really weird these days. He's got this big, naughty beard, and he wears, like, pajama pants all the time, but they're, like, bedazzled. It's something's going on, man. So, at any rate, I don't know. I don't know if it's fair for us to speculate or whatever, but, you know, Bauhaus self-destructed, maybe surprisingly, maybe not surprisingly, sadly due to Peter Murphy's substance issues, which have been a thing that had plagued him for 20 or more years now. And then he was only in rehab for like 2 or 3 months. And they're like, I'm going on a tribute tour. And it was a little weird. It's like, well, why are you going on a Bowie tribute tour? Shouldn't you do Bauhaus? Although I wasn't that disappointed because I would love to see Peter Murphy and Adrian Belew do Bowie. So I wasn't that disappointed. But then it's fallen apart again, maybe because it's too soon. I don't know. Emma, is there any lesson to take from this? Or is this just facts? Mm-hmm.
Ooh, it's hard to tell because, like, we don't know what happened, right? But I think what we can take out of it is life is unpredictable and you can't plan for anything. Because this was, like, the tour is kind of set in stone, right? You buy the ticket, you're like, I'm going on this day and whatever. And, like, obviously you're still going, your ticket's still valid and whatever, you're just going to go a bit later. But, like, no one can control anything. Like, it's... you know, a surprise medical procedure that, you know, prohibits movement and stuff like that really, really sucks. Like, that's a very nasty surprise. But again, it's part of life. Like, it's just extremely unpredictable. So I think treasure the time you have now and the time in the future. Just, you know, take it, plan for it, but take it with a grain of salt because plans are going to change. Things are going to change. I hope he's okay, though. Like, I wish him a full recovery and everything and hope, you know, if he does need additional help, he's going to get it. And I think that's probably, too, why they pushed it to the fall. So it's just like, we're going to make sure that, you know, you're all good and everything's fine before we embark on this, like, pretty extensive tour. So that would be my takeaway. Sam, what do you make of the whole Peter Murphy situation?
Well, so touring in itself these days, I think this is our new normal, right? I was like coming out of COVID and then needing to get back to, I guess, what this is normal for us. Like, you know, we go to shows, we talk about bands, you know, and we need to be together and do record fairs, right? But, like, you know, I think that this is going to be our new normal. People are either going to catch COVID and things are going to be canceled or moved or whatever, right? Because of COVID or health issues or accidents or anything is we're just going to have to accept that things happen. We may not know why the reasons of why they're happening per se, because, you know, sometimes, you know, the press will just say, oh, it's a health issue, but not disclose anything, which is within their right to do so, right?
Mm-hmm. But actually, Sam, I'm going to play devil's advocate here. I was going to say, how about this? Dynamic pricing, we all hate it, but now it's a thing. And so, like, if demand for tickets means you're paying $300 for a $100 ticket, and they say, oh, it's a health thing, but it's really a drug thing or a internal fighting thing, is that fraud? I guess it's not. I mean, well, I guess it really depends. Well, I guess it really depends on what the user agreement is with Ticketmaster, which I'm sure covers their ass 997 times. So, I don't know. You're right. But, I don't know. I mean... Are you entitled to know if your favorite musician is blowing a gig because he's on drugs or not or whatever? You know, and I'm not saying that Peter Murphy is on. He has been on drugs. That might not be the issue here. But, like, I don't know, man. I'm trying to articulate what I'm thinking of. But what I'm saying is I'm playing devil's advocate. I'm not even saying I agree with this argument because I actually probably don't. But, like, if I'm putting up money, substantial money, to see an artist – and they cancel because of something they could have avoided, am I entitled to know that because they breached the contract because they just didn't feel like doing it, you know? Whereas I can't just say, I don't want to go now, so give me my ticket money back. I can't do that. So how come they can do it on their end? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but I, like, you know, it's... I think that this is just going to happen. I was like, people are going to say things and figure out how to break contracts. Like, this specific case, like, it's not like they're canceling it. You know, they're saying, oh, no, we're not coming or we're not doing this. It's they're just rescheduling it to October or November. What sucks is the ones that can't make the new date.
Yeah.
They should get their money back 110%. But you know, they're just going to get their money back 100%. I think that they should get 110%, but whatever. But you know, that's just what it is now. Like, it really does suck because, like, you know, you look forward sometimes, like, you look forward to something like a lot and then you get disappointed, but it's life. Maybe I'm just jaded and living in New York. That's probably what it is.
Well, there you have it. Here's something else that a lot of people are jaded about. Michael Graves has testified in a trial against some of the Proud Boys that were involved in the January 6th insurrection. He testified on behalf of the defense, defending the Proud Boys, saying, no, the Proud Boys did not have a plan to go and run in the Capitol. Things just got out of hand. There was no plan, and they're just really disorganized. This is in direct contrast to other testimony where former Proud Boys said, yes, there was a plan, and that was the plan to, you know, somehow overthrow or disrupt the government. This really isn't a whole lot of surprise to people because just before the January 6th insurrection or during the Proud Boy era, as it were, Michael Graves said, I'm a proud Western male chauvinist. And I'm a Proud Boy too, and that wasn't really surprising to a whole lot of people because he's been on kind of the far right tip for a while, and he's actually said a lot of stuff in concert that kind of just further solidifies that. So that wasn't really that surprising to a whole lot of people, but it is crazy that the crappy second singer of the Misfits, that was the singer of the Misfits from like 96 to 2000, is now somehow in a federal trial defending the Proud Boys who tried to take over the government. What a twisted tale, what a winding web we weave in this world. And I don't know, man, it just I'm always amazed that, you know, I'm not saying if you're punk you have to be Democrat or liberal or whatever, you know, you could say, you know, but I gotta say it's not punk to be a Proud Boy, and I'm astounded that whenever we post something like this, quote, Proud Boy punks or whatever come out of the woodwork. It's like, dude, that is so not punk at all. Like, you're totally not getting the message at all. And also, I got to say, man, talk about one of the more inglorious ends in music. Michael Graves just keeps, you know, when he was the singer of the Misfits, people were like, well, it's not Danzig, but at least he can really sing, which is true. And then when he was fired from the Misfits, they're like, well, he used to be in the Misfits at least. And now it's like, well, he used to be in the Misfits, but now he's a Proud Boy and is playing, like, literally bar shows to, like, 17 people at that. And, talk about one of the less dignified ends to a music career. And actually, I forgot about this. Emma, do you remember what power we welded by accident? Do you remember that?
Yes. Yeah, we caused him to delete all of his social media.
I literally just did a screenshot of his post and said, Michael Graves says he's a Proud Boy. And which is, I didn't even say Michael Graves says he's a Proud Boy and that's bad. I just said Michael Graves says he's a Proud Boy. And he got his entire Instagram got deleted by Instagram and he had to build. And I honestly, I didn't really feel that good about that because I'm not for censoring people, even if I totally disagree with them. But I it was amazing how swift the power we wield was against obliterating Michael Graves. And now he's back to testify. I don't know. Is there any lesson we can take from this, or is this just a mess and that's that?
Don't be a weirdo. Don't be a Proud Boy. Don't do insurrections.
Yeah, I think that's a good one for everyone. Just stay off of, like, don't try to seize the hill kind of thing.
Don't be an asshole.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, fucking hilarious Jesus. How fake you posers are. Punk was and still is about being an individual, about living as you want to. He did something you don't think is punk, so you roast him. Bunch of fake turds, all of you. That's from Ski.
Oh, my God.
Great.
Oh no, we've got roasted by Ski.
Oh, well, anyways, Jesus. You know what? Let's play the one true singer of the Misfits. And at this point, there have been three singers. No, there have been at least three. I'm trying to think of. I mean, I know they tried out a fourth, but I guess there will technically only be three singers of the Misfits. So let's play the only one true singer that for years people have been dogging on, but yet again proves that he's the greatest. This is Danzig and the Misfits doing some song. I don't know. A good one. We'll be back. Oh, and then after that, we're going to play Scout, because we should play something that was recorded after, you know, 1983 or something. So after that, we're going to play
what,
Scout.
What, new music?
Brand new track, Psychic Dance Routine, and we'll be back. And we're back. Em, tell us about Scout and Psychic Dance Routine.
Yeah! Woo! So, Scout have released a video for our Psychic Dance Routine, and it's great. So, the video is, like, Kat Moss, and she's dancing in a studio, and she like is dancing at the camera and dancing at the mirror at different points. And in the background, the people from opening night who were in the crowd, who had the balaclavas with the socks on them, show up at random points, which I love. Like, it's so nice that they have, like, kind of running things and running themes throughout all their videos. So, like, this one's connected to opening night, and it's connected to Shot Down, which is super, super, super rad. Love to see it. And they're all directed by their guitarist, Malachi Green, which is also really cool. But yeah, the song is super catchy. It's very, like, alt rock. It's very clean. Like, Kat Moss's voice is very clean. And, like, she can sing. Like, it's awesome. I mean, like, incredibly, incredibly catchy and incredibly, incredibly good. It's one of those songs you listen to, and then you're just kind of, like, humming along and kind of dancing and everything. And then you catch yourself, and you know what? And then you're like, you know what? No, I'm not going to stop. I'm just going to turn it up louder, and everyone around me is going to have to deal with it. But, yeah, and, like, it's so cool because in the song, right, there's that shift. Like, there's the, it's, like, she, or, like, it goes from she and then it switches to I. So the perspective completely changes. And when the perspective changes in the song, the, like, rising tension, I guess, in the video kind of becomes more apparent. And it ends with her in, like, running out of the studio, running down the stairs and, like, you know, trying to, like, breathe properly, which is, you know, like, goes with the message of the song and, like, the pressures and, like, how, you know, you're putting on the performance and then you can't tell, like, the difference anymore, and then that freaks you out and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, I thought that was really well done, just really, really awesome. So yeah, have a big thanks, obviously, to John, who, you know, wrote about them in one of the cool new bands posts. So that's awesome too.
And Em stole them from me, Sam. Em stole Scout from me.
Yeah, I just ripped the rug from underneath.
Well, you guys could share it if you just learned how to share. No, I'm joking.
John, do you want to share a Scout? Do we have a truce?
No.
Shake on it! Come on!
Listen, as this EP shows, there's plenty of scowl to go around. And I gotta say, man, not to diss on Ceremony, and Ceremony was a template for early scowl. I think scowl is doing what Ceremony tried and failed to do. And that is move from hardcore into, you know, alt-rock or post-punk or whatever, but have a sort of connectivity between the two, in that, like, I can see Scout playing the hardcore and their new non-hardcore stuff in the same show and having it flow smoothly. I think this new track is real cool, and I really do love the refrain. I forget, it's something, this is not a blank blank, this is not a psychic dance routine. Like, I just love how she repeated it twice, and I love the refrain. I think it's a cool song, and I think the video is real cool, and I like the dancing. I think the dancing is real good. Sam, you're a big fan of Backstreet Boys and Beyonce and Destiny's Child and
you mean
Pepper, 90s kind of
pop music?
like to me, this dancing seemed really good. Is this dancing really good, or is it just seem good because I don't watch that many videos with dancing in them?
So the crazy thing is, when I was like watching this video, the song is great. Like, I'm excited for this release. If any one of you guys out there have binged Wednesday on Netflix the way that I have, this her dance is almost like that dance that went viral. I was like, there was like weird parts where there was arms hanging. I was like, what am I doing? I was like, is this like the new like hipster dance wave that's been happening? No, I think I have a very special place in my heart for really, really bad 90s pop dances, including when, you know, white boys grab the crotch for no apparent reason, or like, you know, make their hands gesture in like weird ways for no apparent reason, like if they were holding your head up. I don't know. There's weird things in that, and I'm all about it. But I do really, really enjoy this, and I do think that the routine that they came up with meshed with the song very well, including the entire I'm running and I'm panting a lot. I think this is just dancing now, John. This is what young people do to dance.
Well, listen, I'm all for the young people expressing themselves through dance and hardcore that is now post-punk slash grunge, so I'm all for it. And here's something else that I'm all for: the Mean Jeans. They're putting out a new album. They finished recording their sixth album with really little pre-announcement. I can't think of the word I'm looking for, but they haven't hinted at a sixth album, and all of a sudden they're like, huzzah, our sixth album is done. First thing of notice, even though the Mean Jeans have been a band about 15 years now, they all look exactly like they looked 15 years ago. It is remarkable how the Mean Jeans don't age. Second, and this is further verified, is if you look at our photo that is about 15 years old against the Instagram post, they look exactly the same, except for their hair is longer or shorter, depending on the Mean Jeans. They all look exactly the same, which is amazing. So I'm psyched because I love Mean Jeans. There was an interesting debate going on in the commentary. Someone said, I'm stoked for this, but I hope they do some experimenting with this one, which is what Ricky said, which I agree with. But then someone said, I'm hoping he got all of the experimenting out of the way with Funky Punks in Space. That comment kind of astounded me because I thought Funky Punks in Space was a complete masterwork and a great, great, great album, and it was exactly what I wanted from the Mean Jeans or Mean Jeans side project. And I also think the Mean Jeans are at their most interesting when they are being weird or experimental, such as with the Jingles record, which I think is one of the most clever albums in punk ever done. And so I was – when Mean Jeans just do straight Ramones core, I dig it, but I always feel like there's more that they can do. And as Jingles and as Funky Punks in Space and as Hound of Love, which is a Mean Jeans spinoff band that's amazing, and as Patsy Rats, another Mean Jeans spinoff band, have shown, when they put in that extra element, they are so far beyond most just Ramones core bands. And I think it's that extra element that makes them special. But the commenters kind of just wanted another Mean Jeans Ramones core record, which there's at this point, I mean, astoundingly, it seems like there's more and more Ramones core now than ever, and it's all really bad or kind of bad. And in certain parts of the punk world, people are like, oh, have you heard the new album by the Spankies? Like, this song is about, you know, the girl that dumped me. This song is about going to the pizza parlor. And it's like, oh, my God, this is derivative of derivative of derivative of derivative. And, like, the amusing part to me, and by amusing I mean annoying, is with these derivative bands is they're not even as edgy as the Ramones. If you listen to the Ramones, even the Ramones aren't really a Ramones core band. Like, they've got songs like 53rd and 3rd. They've got songs like My Brain is Hanging Upside Down. They've got songs like I Want to Be Sedated. Like, these Ramones cores, they're not really Ramones core bands. I Love Her So core bands. That is, they just take one Ramones song and just do that over and over and over. And I think the Mean Jeans are amazing because they take the core idea of the Ramones and kind of put in the 80s elements and other elements as Funky Punks in Space, which I thought was a masterwork. So I realize I'm droning on and on, but Sam, are you surprised that people just want regular Mean Jeans? And what do you want? Because I definitely want Mean Jeans Plus, if you will.
I'm not surprised that people want normal Mean Jeans. I think this band, I think even if they tried to write a concept album, I think it'd still be damn creative and great. You know, I personally love the Jingles album. That is my favorite stuff, only because I am 110% into cheese, like really cheesy stuff, like dad jokes level, like cheesy stuff. So I really loved, like, you know, hearing these jingles that was created, because it almost sounded like nonsense that I, you know, like we grew up like watching on the TV, like a stupid commercial, you know, they were on par with that. So I would love, I personally would love if they did a Jingles 2. I think they're creative enough to take, maybe make a song about Pop-Tarts or Count Chocula or something. And then have, like, you know, like the chuckle in the back the entire time. Things like that. I don't hate their experimental stuff, like Funky Punks and stuff. I don't listen to Mean Jeans a lot, but I would listen to them if it was, like, on, like, if it came up on, like, you know, shuffle or something like that. So that's that. But I actually want to know what kind of skincare routine is happening with you guys. They look so damn good. I need to, like, be flawless when I turn, like, 80 and, you know, not look like Yoda, because I'm probably going to, like, melt into a pile of mush, because that's what happens in my family. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yes. So, Em, what kind of skincare routine do you think they're using? Like snail, like mucin or something?
I think it's 100% case of vampirism, because they have not aged. Like, they have not aged at all.
Have we seen them outside in daylight?
That's a good question.
I have not. I've seen the Mean Jeans, but it's always been dark. Good point, Sam. Good point.
I think we figured it out.
Yeah.
Mean Jeans are vampires.
Yeah.
Solved.
That's what I want their new album to be. Just like an exploration of, like, their vampiric sides. Vampiric sides?
Vampiric,
yeah. I think
yeah.
That's how you say it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that'd be cool. But, like, vampires in space.
Well, agreed. We all love Mean Jeans. Well, but, Em, you didn't answer the question. Do you want experimental Mean Jeans or, like, normal Mean Jeans?
Ooh, I like experimental Mean Jeans. Regular Mean Jeans are great, but, I mean, like, Funky Punks in space rocked, and give me more experimental stuff.
Why wasn't that album huge? I thought that album was so good. Like, why didn't that album, like, light the world on fire, or at least the punk world on fire?
Yeah, I don't know. Was it just, like, it came out pretty under the radar? Maybe that was it, but, like, I don't know. It was getting good press.
Maybe punks don't like change.
Ooh.
I guess.
Maybe punks like Ramones Corps only.
I feel like it could have been marketed better, I think. But, well, listen. Hindsight's 2020. Speaking of hindsight being 2020, oh, that's the Ergs. But we're going to talk about the Bouncing Souls. Bouncing Souls have announced Stoke for the Summer 2023. Sam, take it away.
Yay! My favorite time of the year, or day of the year. I don't know. I'm not even sure what's going on. But anyways, my favorite, the Bouncing Souls. They do an annual party. Out at the Stone Pony in Asbury Park. Also another one of my favorite places, because I could actually get there. So they announced Stoked for the Summer. And it is going to be on July 22nd. So they actually got a couple bands to come out. So Bayside is playing this thing. 7 Seconds is playing this thing. Screaming Females and Mercy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I would have to say I am guaranteed to be there. So if you find a little Asian girl running around, probably crying, that's probably me. Maybe John will be there because he usually shows up for Screaming Females things. We'll see. I don't know. Reunion? Eh. But yeah, no, I'm super stoked for this. This is like literally one of the things I look forward to every year. For me personally, I actually had tickets to something else on the same day that got announced first. And guess what? I bought tickets to Bouncing Souls today because I need to be there. And my husband literally looked at me and said, are we actually having a conversation about which tickets we need to get rid of now? And he said, literally to me, you know where you need to be.
It's like a movie. It's like, you know where you need to be.
Yes, he's literally confirming everything. So you'll find me and Chris there somewhere in the giant, you know, space known as the outside of Stone Pony. Wear sunscreen, maybe bring a hat. I don't know. We'll see. But I'm stoked.
Sam, what show got the boot? I gotta know.
Oh my god. So Defeater. Hardcore band on B9. They have announced that they were playing two shows, one in like the Massachusetts Boston area, and they were coming to Brooklyn. So they don't ever play, and I was super excited because they were playing St. Vitus, which is one of my favorite venues in Brooklyn, and also very, very metal. Space that I love. And Caspian was playing with them, and I also love Caspian. The last time I saw Defeater was actually like, oh my god, I think it was like 2016 or something like that. I was in Paris on a boat, and they were playing with Comeback Kid. And yes, I don't know how I get myself in these situations, but it was like literally like a couple months after the Bataclan happened and I was in Paris and they were playing and I was like, why not go see them? And I love Comeback Kid. So Comeback Kid was playing with them. So of course I have to be there. And I get there, everyone's speaking in French and I have no idea what's happening. And they're playing, the power goes out.
Oh no.
Yeah. So, like I said before, the Bataclan happened a couple months before. So, the first thing that happened was I grabbed my husband and both of us, like, were, like, our palms were so sweaty because we didn't know what was happening. I was like, oh my god, are we going to die tonight? In a boat. No, it was just the power went out. It was actually pretty fun. Because the drummer was going, because he had no idea that during Defeater that the power was out, because, you know, he doesn't really need things besides, like, you know, I guess monitors. But you couldn't hear any of the guitars. You couldn't hear any of the vocals. But the thing that you did hear was the entire crowd was singing in English to Defeater, screaming. And I was like, wow, this is magical right here. I don't know what I just witnessed, but hopefully I'm not dead. But so magical. Yeah, so I kind of wanted to really see Defeater, but I guess the Bouncing Souls is going to have to whisk me away and, you know, make me eat my favorite tacos on the boardwalk and, you know, spend an entire day, like, putting sunscreen on my face so I don't burn and, you know, singing at night and hopefully crying at the end of the night, how great it was. We'll see. Yeah.
Well, Sam, what Bouncing Souls tune should we send them out with?
Let's do True Believers, because I do love that song, and I hope everyone here is a true believer.
And we'll see you next week.